This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
In the Bible, Psalms chapter 96 is one where God commands us to share the glory of his story. It's a wonderful chapter filled with all sorts of mandates for us to reach out and to be on mission with God. And that's what we're talking about this month, is being on mission with God. And so I'm hoping to stir your soul, stir your conscience a little bit, get you motivated to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look to verse number 1 of Psalms 96 as we talk about this wonderful chapter today. The Bible says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day." Watch verse 3. "Declare his glory." We are to declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindred of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigns." Somebody say amen. "Say among the heathen that the Lord reigns. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that are therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth." What a wonderful chapter for us to read this morning. I want you to be seated. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And out of this chapter this morning, I want to preach to you about missional certainties. Missional certainties. There are some things that are truly certain about all of us that are saved by the grace of Christ when it comes to missions. And I want you to hear what the psalmist has to say as we talk about this morning, and I believe that it will motivate you to be on mission with God. I believe it'll motivate some of you to sign up and be a van driver. And all God's people can say, oh, I didn't get no amens, but from Jerry. For you to sign up and be a van driver and do something for the Lord. All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, I pray that we would look to the goodness and the grace of God today. Lord, you are so glorious. Lord, you are deserving of our praise. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for the service already, for the wonderful singing that we have heard that's caused us to enter into your sanctuary and to experience your beauty and your grace. I pray, God, that you would stir us on the inside. May the meditation of my heart, Lord, be the sermon that you have prepared, and may my mouth speak the things of God today. We love you, Jesus. We praise you for who you are, for what you've done and what you're going to do. We ask you to anoint us this hour. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people can say, amen. Now, if you are a Christian, the most important assignment that you have is to be on mission with God. Let me say it again. If you are a Christian, you are a born-again child of God, you believe that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, then the most important assignment is for you to be on mission with God. And I firmly believe this. A church without missions is a church without a mission. Let me say it again in case you weren't paying attention. A church without missions is a church without mission. We need to be on mission with God. If you believe it, say amen. And I firmly believe that. There are many churches today that they may not believe in missions. They don't believe in sending missionaries out. They don't believe in going to foreign fields. They don't believe in working in their own city. They'd rather sit soaking sour than to serve. You need to know today, friend, if you are a born-again child of God, the most important assignment that you have on planet Earth is to be on mission with God. And a church without missions is a church without a mission. We have been called and consecrated to a mission, and that's to tell the glory of His story. If you believe it, say amen. You know, I was thinking about this week. Do you know that there's only one thing that you cannot do about missions? There is one thing that you cannot do about missions, and that is to get rid of your responsibility. If you are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, you need to know that you are responsible for being on mission with God. Listen now, and that responsibility is going to follow you all the days of your life. From the day that you were born again, God placed upon you a responsibility, and that responsibility was to be on mission with God. And until the day you die, that responsibility will pursue you. Whether you act upon it or not, that responsibility will pursue you all the days of your life, even into eternity, where one day you will stand before God and you will give an account in the judgment of God whether or not you have been on mission with Him. As a born-again child of God, you need to know, listen now, that you are called of God to be on mission with Him. You are commissioned by God to be on mission with Him. And you are commanded by God to be on mission with Him. A church that fails to support missions and to be on mission with God, they have cast their vote and their ballot to bring the missionaries home and stop the missionary movement among the heathen nations of the world. Are you hearing me today? When we choose not to support, both in our tithe and in our talent, in going and growing, we cast our ballot. We say that we don't believe in the missionary movement. Just bring the missionaries home. We don't care about the heathen nations of the world. I want you to know, you don't have that type of preacher. I am concerned about not only the city of Fort Oglethorpe and the state of Georgia and the state and the nation of that we live in, but I'm also concerned about the uttermost parts of the world. Why? Because we have been commanded by God, we have been commissioned by God, and we have been called by God to be on mission with Him. If you believe it, say amen. You say, preacher, why is it that we should be on mission with God? We should be on mission with God because God is on mission. We should be on mission with God because God is on mission. Do you know the Bible says that God sent His Son to seek and to save those that which was lost? We are on mission with God because God is on a mission. He is looking for sinners. He's looking for people to sanctify. God is on a mission to transform and to change the world for His glory to be revealed. You know, when I study the scripture, I find that throughout history, you will always find God trying to accomplish His purpose on earth. From page to page, corner to corner, you will find every time we see God in the Bible, He's always acting in accordance to His purpose. Now, you may be asking, what is God's purpose? Let me give you it. It's three of them. You might want to write them down. Number one, to reveal Himself and to glorify His name. That is the purpose of God. He wants to reveal Himself and glorify His name. Number two, He wants to establish His kingdom. And when I talk about kingdom, I'm talking about His kingdom rule. I'm talking about God's kingdom reign within your heart and within your life. And the third one is to reconcile the world to Himself. These are the three things that God purposes in His heart. God is wanting to glorify His name. He wants to reveal Himself through the pages of the Word of God. He wants to establish His kingdom. Not only the kingdom rule in your heart, but there's coming a day that God will establish a kingdom rule among all the kingdoms of the world, and God wants to reconcile the world to Himself through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the purpose of God. And God has invited me, and God has invited you to go on this wonderful journey in reconciling the world to Jesus Christ, to Himself. You know, when I study the pages of the Bible, you'll find that when God wants to reveal His glory to man, He always has a plan to manifest His glory. When God wants to reveal Himself, He's always had some sort of plan to manifest his glory. I was thinking about men like Abraham. Through Abraham, God revealed himself as the Almighty and provider when he provided a sacrifice to there on the mountain. God blessed Abraham and God used Abraham. God said, through Abraham, I'm going to bless all the nations of the world. God shows himself as the benevolent one, the one that has blessings. You'll find it through Moses. God revealed himself as the great I am, who is mighty with power. You'll find it through David. God revealed his glory by telling David that he would have a seed that would rule over all the nations of the world and that his kingdom would never fail. You'll find it through Jesus Christ that God manifested his love and his purpose to reconcile the world and to bring sinners to himself and to magnify his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find it through the Apostle Paul that God revealed himself in showing that salvation is not just for the Jew, but also for the Gentile, to all who believe. You'll find that through the Apostle John, that God revealed his glory by revealing to John that at the end of the story, all nations and tribes and peoples of the world in Revelation chapter 7 will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and bow before him and worship him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I can say through Parkway Baptist that God has invited me and God has invited you to be on mission with him, to declare his glory, to talk about his story. This is the wonderful journey of the child of God, and this ought to get you excited. It ought to motivate you to want to do something for God, that God has invited each and every one of you to be on mission with him. What is God's mission? To glorify his name, to establish his kingdom, and to reconcile the lost world to himself. This is why we are here this morning. God's called us to magnify and glorify his wonderful name, to establish his rule within our heart, and then to tell people that Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And all God's people can say, amen. This morning I want to talk about these missional certainties that are derived out of this chapter. And I'm going to start with point number one and saying that God commands us to be on mission with him. God commands us to be missional. We are called of God, we are commissioned of God, and we are certainly commanded by God to declare his glory. I want you to notice what the psalmist says beginning in verse number 3. In verse number 3, he says, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all the people. Now, instead of God doing this himself, that is, declaring his glory and doing it on his own, he chooses to invite me and he chooses to invite you. Think about this. The sovereign God of glory that created all things, the creator and the sustainer of everything, he graciously invites you and your family to be on mission with him. He invites you to partner with him and to join him. He invites you to go on this wonderful journey in reconciling the world and spreading his glory throughout the nations. He invites you to be a part of that. God has not chosen to do this on his own, nor has God chosen to do it through the medium of angels. God has chosen to use his people. And that's why verse number 3 says, declare his glory among the heathen. The word declare there means reveal. And the word heathen is a Hebrew word for the word nations. And so what the Bible is saying, reveal his glory among the nations. Reveal his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the people. You say, Brother David, why should I reveal the glory of God among all the nations of the world? Because the Bible says, for the Lord is great. If you believe the Lord is great, say amen. The Bible says the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. Paul would call them dumb idols in the New Testament. But the Lord, he made the heavens. Listen to this. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. So do you see what the Bible is saying? The Bible is saying that not only are we to sing unto the Lord, verse number 1, we're to make a melody in our heart. We're to sing unto God. We are to bless the name of God. We are to show forth his salvation from day to day, verse number 2. But verse number 3, we are to reveal his glory among the nations. If you're here today and you do not believe in missions, then I want you to know you do not believe in the mission of God, because God has a missionary heart. God has a heart for sinners, not only in the United States, but in other nations of the world. This is the very character of God Almighty, that he wants us to declare his glory and to make his goodness known. He wants people to be glad in the very goodness of God as we tell about Jesus and his love. Did you know that the ultimate value of our salvation is not only what we were saved from, but also what we were saved for? The ultimate value of our salvation is not only in what you were saved from, which is hell, but also what you were saved for, and that is to tell the heathen of Jesus and his love. Now, that's an important statement. Let me say it again. The value of my Christianity, the value of me being a believer, is not only in what I'm saved from. I'm glad that I'm saved from hell. I'm glad that I'm saved from the tribulation period. I'm glad that I'm saved from the power of the Antichrist yet to come. And we say hallelujah, and we shout his name, and we rejoice over that. And I'm thankful that I'm saved from hell. But I'm also saved for something. And the Bible tells us, here it is, verse 3. I am saved for the purpose of declaring his glory among the nations. You see, God's desire is not just to be globally famous. There's a lot of people that know about God. They know about Jesus Christ. They know about the Bible. They know about the things of God. But God's desire is not to be globally famous. God's desire is to be faithfully worshiped. God's desire is not to be globally famous. God's desire is to be faithfully worshiped. That's where you say amen, right? God's desire is not to be globally famous. It's to be faithfully worshiped. All right. And so God wants to be worshiped in the world. He just doesn't want to be known and known about, or just talked about. He wants to not to be famous. He wants to be worshiped. That's why the Bible says, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all of the people. Listen, the only way for God to be worshiped is for God to be known. And the only way God's going to be known is through you and I being on mission with him. I've said it before and I'll say it again. God will never, ever be rightly and faithfully worshiped until God is known. And God is known through the pages of the Word of God. When you preach the Bible, when you speak of the Bible, when you live the Bible, you love the Bible, and you are loyal to the Bible. When you are doing what God wants you to do and you're manifesting the glory of God according to the pages of the Word of God, then people are seeing God at work in and through your life. Nobody will ever know about the glory of God and the goodness of God and the gladness of God that God can put in my heart unless we preach and teach the Bible. Somebody say amen. And so the Bible teaches us we are to declare his glory among all of the nations of the world. You think about this. Whenever you see people coming to Christ, whenever you see a social injustice being rectified, when you see economic opportunities improving within the world, when you see people overcoming their health issues, when you see revival among the saints and repentance among the sinners, you will always find 3 things at work. Number 1, you will find those on their knees praying for the will of God. Number 2, people declaring the word of God and God's people worshiping the ways of God. Are you hearing me? God becomes active in the world and God begins to move with his mission in the world when you and I are praying for the will of God, when we are declaring the word of God, and when we are worshiping the very ways of God. When we are thanking him for his goodness and his grace, when we worship him for his benefits and his blessings, that we know that God is the creator and the sustainer of all things. This is when God begins to move. This is when God begins to act. When God's people get on their knees and we begin praying for the will of God for our life and for our church. I want you to know, friend, you don't have to pray about driving a bus. I can tell you right now, it is the will of God for those children to hear the word of God. Somebody say amen. It is the will of God for Fort Oglethorpe to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't have to pray about the will of God when we know what the will of God already is. We don't need to sit soaking sour. We need to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Arise from our apathy and our mundane ways and get on mission with God. Somebody say amen. The Bible says we are to pray and we are to declare the very glory of God. Watch this verse here in Psalms 22, verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabits, love this verse. Listen, Psalms 22, verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praise of Israel. The word inhabits there means to dwell. Somehow, some way, the Bible says that God dwells within our praise. When the choir is singing and you're lifting up your hands and we're rejoicing, somehow, some way, God is dwelling within that praise and God is being manifested. His glory is being manifested. I have found in churches that most people are familiar with the idea of praise as worship. We get that, right? We lift up our hands, we sing, we understand praise as worship. There'll be many of you that understands praise as a witness. David said, he's put a new song in my heart, Jerry. Many shall see it and come and know the Lord. Many will see my praise. So David had worship and witnessing in mind. There's a lot of people that understand that, and they lift up their hands, and they know that that's a witness to the congregation of the glory and the love of Christ. So we understand praise as worship. We understand praise as witnessing. But have you ever understood praise and seen praise as a weapon? As a matter of fact, our praise should be our first line of defense. When the enemy comes against us and the spiritual darkness is trying to surround us and the devil's trying to discourage us, the best thing that we can do is to begin to pray and to praise his holy name. It is a weapon that God has given me, not just a means of worship, not just the means of witnessing, but it is a weapon in the arsenal of God that God gives me. How do I know that? James chapter 4, verse number 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. When the Bible says to submit yourself, it is talking about our praise. We're submitting ourselves to God. We're wrapped up in his wonder, in his grace, and in his mercy. And when we submit ourselves to God, hallelujah, the devil starts running away. The Bible says he flees from us. Listen to Psalm 68, verse 1 and verse 5. Let God arise. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. I love this. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah. This is the word Yahweh, Jehovah, the self-existent one. The Bible says he rides upon the heavens. His name is Yahweh, and we rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. Hallelujah to his name. Man, that ought to excite you. Say amen. The Bible says our God rides upon the heavens. You know, when you have the higher ground, you always have the majority within the fight. And we're living on higher ground. We don't have to worry about our enemy. We are living on higher ground. We are walking with the Lord. Our God resides in the heavens. And so you need to understand praise as a weapon. Not only as a witness, not only as a means of worship, but as a weapon. As a weapon to push back the darkness, as a weapon to hold all of hell at bay, as a weapon, those spiritual wickednesses in high places, those demons that come up against us, it is a way for you and I to push them back and to declare the very glory of God's wonderful story. We need that spiritual weapon of praise because Satan is a master deceiver. He is the author of idolatry. He undermines faith in God. He twists his values and he promotes falsehood. He infiltrates institutions. He perverts governments. He warps educational systems. And even at times, Satan can corrupt the church with compromise. We need praise. It ought to be the first line of our defense. Somebody say amen. And so the only hope for lost humanity is the message of Jesus Christ. Do you know this? By declaring the glory of God, we partner with Jesus Christ's mission. The Bible says in John chapter 17 and verse number 26, "And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Lord, I have declared unto them thy wonderful, glorious name." Every time we declare the glory of God's story, we are partnering with Jesus. We are picking up where he left off on earth, and we are fulfilling the commissional mandate and the call of God to go to the highways and hedges and to compel them to come in. And I want you to know many people have embraced this. There's been many wonderful men and women of God who said, "I'm going to be on mission with the Lord." And when we look to the book of Revelation at the end of the story, I want you to look at Revelation 7, verse number 9. I want you to know God's love will triumph. Listen to this. "And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number," listen now, "of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, that no man can number of all nations," of all nations. The word nations there is the Greek word ethnos. We get the Greek word ethnic group from it. Every ethnic group on planet Earth, the Bible says, will be there on that day. You know why? Because there's been some men and women that have stepped out on the stage of human history. And they believe in the missional mandate of God. They believe that they are commanded by God to be on mission with him. They are commissioned by God to be on mission with him. And they've grabbed a hold of the hand of God. And they said, "I won't give up, I won't give out, and I will not give in. I will serve the Lord with gladness. I will declare his name. Circumstances will not stop me. Troubles and problems will not stop me. The things and the cares of this world, even the problems in the church, will not stop me. I will be on mission with God. I will be like an Olympian jumping over a hurdle. I will jump the hurdles of life. I will jump the hurdles of the devil. I will jump the hurdles of the world, and I will finish my race that God has given me, and I will do so in faith, believing that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." If you believe that, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house of God. Amen. William Carey was the father of the modern missions movement, and he went to India from England in 1793. And when he arrived there, he believed that God would ultimately triumph among the people of India. Though he had all sorts of obstacles, he had faced sickness, he had faced other circumstances, he believed in his heart that God would ultimately triumph and prevail. And in his diaries, he wrote, "When I left England, my hope for India's conversion was very strong, but among so many obstacles, it would die unless upheld by God. Well, I have God, and I have his word, and it is true. Though the superstitions of the heathen were 1,000 times stronger than they are, and the example of the Europeans 1,000 times worse, though I were deserted by all and persecuted by all, yet my faith, fixed on the sure word, would rise above all obstructions and overcome every trial. God's cause will triumph." What a wonderful word for us today. We need to believe in our heart that God's cause will triumph. Regardless of the circumstances of life, regardless of what others do, regardless of the change of the culture, If we decide as a church body to get on mission with God and to minister to people in this community, there is no telling what God can do in and through a family and an individual who determines in their heart, I will not give up, I will not give out, I will not give in, I will not sit, soak, and sour. I'm going to serve the Lord with gladness. I'm going to reveal His glory among the nations. God commands us to be on mission with Him. Not only does the psalmist tell us in verse 3, we are to reveal His glory among the nations, His wonders among all people, verse 3, and He commands us to be on mission, but also God compels us to be on mission with Him. These are two certainties for the child of God. God commands you to be on mission, and God compels you to be on mission with Him. I want you to look at verse 7 and verse number 9. Notice what the Bible says. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindred of the people, give unto the Lord glory. I'm to give God glory. I'm to give Him glory and strength. Look at verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name, and bring an offering, and come into His courts, and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all ye earth. Now, it's very apparent that the glory that Psalms 96 is speaking of is not just any glory. He's not talking about the glory of creation, the glory of man. He's not talking about the glory found even in the animal kingdom or in the universe. The glory that he's talking about here is the glory of God. And so the Bible tells me that I am to give God glory. I'm to bring God glory. Well, if we are to give God glory and bring God glory, what does it mean for you and I to glorify God? Have you ever thought about that? What does it mean for me to give God glory? What does it mean for me to glorify God? The word glory in the text refers to the essential worth, beauty, and value of something. The essential worth, the beauty, or the value of something. That's what the word glory means. In the Bible, it speaks of people, that there's value in people. There is a certain worth in people. There's a certain beauty in people. And in a sense, with people, there is a glory. In the Bible, it talks about created things. But above all of these things, the Bible talks about the glory of God. And God calls you and I to glorify Him. That is, we are to give God value. We are to bring value to God. We are to recognize God's value. We're to recognize God's worth. We are certainly to recognize God's beauty. Did you know our God is a beautiful God? Not only is He a God of blessing, not only is He a God of many benefits, but He is a God of beauty, and He's a God of wonder. And the Bible says we are to look at that glory and we're to have value towards that glory. There's a worth towards that glory. It's worth me declaring it. It's worth me speaking about it. There's so much value to the glory of God because it's going to help my church. It's going to help my family. It's going to help me. That's why we are to declare the very glory. There's so much packed in the glory of God. It'll transform people from the inside out. So God says, tell them about my glory. Tell them about my worth. Tell them about my wonderful value. Tell them about my beauty and my holiness. Because God's glory is directed in three ways. I would say it this way. His glory flows in three directions. Did you know that? God's glory flows in three directions. It's easy to see the glory of God. Number one, you'll find God's glory in creation. And this is a wonderful time of the year to see God's glory in creation. Psalms 19 verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. The glory of God in creation. And this is a great time of the year to see it. Listen, do yourself a favor. When you're driving down the road, especially through maybe the park over here, and you're driving down the road, and you start to see the flowers begin to bloom, and you see the dogwoods begin to bloom. Those dogwoods that were laying dry and barren and cold in the winter, now because of the warmth of the spring, Their buds are going upwards towards God. The flowers are lifting their petals up towards God. The trees are stretching out their leaves up towards God. It's like a symphony of praise among creation. The birds fly through the air and they sing the very glory of God. The wind whistles through the air and it sings about the glory of God. The thunder begins to roll and the lightning begins to crack, and it all speaks of the wonderful glory of our God. Somebody say amen. That he's a powerful God, that he's a majestic God, that he's the creator and the sustainer of all things, that he is not contingent upon me, that I am contingent upon him. And we see the very glory of God. So when you're going down the road and you see the dogwoods blooming, when you go to the Great Smoky Mountains and you see the trees lifting up their branches toward the sky, when you go on vacation and you see the ocean, you are to see the Amazon River, you are to see the Great Alps. When you look at creation, you are viewing the very glory and the magnitude of the might of our God. Somebody say amen. The psalmist says, the heavens declare his glory. God's glory flows in the direction of creation. Not only do you find glory in creation, but you also find God's glory in Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for God, who commended the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, when you look at Jesus Christ, you see the very glory of God, how God's love goes deeper still, how God's mercy is so vast and so wide. The glory of Christ, as God outstretched his arms on an old rugged cross and died for you and I. Listen, the top of the cross pointed to heaven and the bottom of the cross pointed to hell, but Jesus' arms were outstretched wide saying, whosoever, let him come unto me. If you are thirsty in this dry and barren world, I want you to know that God has a drink that will satisfy. I'm not talking about something that comes from the world. I'm talking about a spiritual drink. It's called eternal life, and it satisfies. Somebody say amen. It satisfies. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Satisfies the heart of the sinner. The glory of Christ. The more I learn about God's forgiveness, and God's mercy, and God's wonderful grace, the more I learn about God's provisions, the more I learn about God's power, the more I see the glory of Christ. The glory of God being radiated in and through our lives. The glory flows in three directions: glory in creation, glory in Christ, and then there's a sense that there is glory in the church. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church. Why? By Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Every time we see a sinner being saved, it's the glory of Christ in the church. Every time I see a marriage being reconciled by the gospel message and the power of Christ, it is the glory of Christ in the church. Every time I see a young man surrendering to preach, it is the glory of Christ in the church. Every time the choir gets up and sings from the heart and lifts up their hands and the congregation begins to sing, it is the glory of Christ within the church. It's easy to see the glory of God. The Bible says, I am to bring him glory. What does that mean? I am to enter into his presence with such praise that I recognize his worth, his value, and I recognize the beauty and the glory of God. You know, you say, Brother David, why is God so concerned with worship? Verse 6 tells us, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. And I was dwelling on that verse all weekend long. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. And I came across a quote by Stephen Hawthorne, and he said this. He said, honor and majesty do not refer to God's self-experience. Listen to this. Rather, along with strength and beauty, they are features of God's presence that are to be the experience of people who approach him in true worship. Man, that's powerful. He said, there can be nothing more splendid or majestic for humans than to be elevated and placed in the gorgeous, heart-stopping grandeur of God's regal presence. What a great statement. There is nothing that will elevate you more than to be placed in the gorgeous, heart-stopping grandeur of God's regal presence. He said they are features of God's presence that are to be the experience of the people who approach him in true worship. When I approach God in worship, I discover his honor. I see his majesty. I experience his strength and his beauty. I want you to know, friend, God not only commands me to be on mission, but God compels us to be on mission with him. He delights in all of us experiencing his beauty, his splendor, his honor, and his majesty. If you believe it, say amen. Well, let me give you the last one there. Not only do we find these certainties, missional certainties, that God commands you to be on mission with him. He told you, declare, reveal his glory among the nations. It's a command of God. God compels us. He says, come and try me. Enter into my presence. Experience my beauty, my honor, my majesty. But last of all, God consecrates us to be on mission with him. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Beginning in verse number 10, the psalm is coming to a climax, and it's moving towards a climax. And in verse number 10, it declares that God's people should tell the world that the Lord, he is King of kings, he is Lord of lords, and that he reigns over the earth. Say among the heathen, that is, say among the nations, that the Lord reigns. How many knows he reigns this morning? Say amen. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. It's not the government of the world that reigns. It's not man that reigns. The Bible says it is God that reigns among his people. And verse 10 says, when it says the world shall also be established, that it shall not be moved, he shall judge the people righteously. It is speaking of a future government. It is speaking of the coming of God, where the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he is going to rule and reign, and righteousness is going to cover the entire earth. I am looking forward to that moment. The psalmist is saying, declare to the nations the goodness of God. God commands me, God compels me, but God consecrates me. He puts it in my mind and in my heart that he is coming. I want you to know, friend, just as sure as the sun rose this morning, Christ is coming again. And just as sure as the sun will set tonight, I want you to know that Christ is coming again. He is coming. It's not a matter of if he is coming, it's a matter of when he is coming. And we just may be the precursor generation that will experience the rapture of the church and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I am ready. And if he comes tonight, and if he raptures us out tonight, I would want to be found being on mission with him. Someone say amen. Isn't that your heart's desire? To be on mission with him. Christ is coming. And when he comes, the coming of Christ will be one of, number one, absolute sovereignty. Look at verse 10. Say among the heathen, that is, say among the nations, that the Lord reigns, the sovereign reign of Christ. His coming will not only be one of absolute sovereignty, but it will be absolute security. Listen to what verse 10 says. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. That is, there will be no more wars, no more rebellion, no more uprising. Christ will rule and reign with a rod of iron, and righteousness will go throughout the land. When Christ comes, it will be one of sovereignty, security, and certainly it will be one of sanctity. Verse 10 says, he shall judge the people righteously. I want you to know, folks, that's the blessed hope of everyone that's in here. We are moving towards that moment in time where we will stand before God. And while we wait, God says, I want you to be on mission with me. God invites us. He commands us, he calls us, he consecrates us, and he has commissioned us to partner with him in declaring the glory of his wonderful story. You say, well, I don't know where to start. One writer said, if you can't preach like Peter and you can't pray like Paul, then proclaim the love of Jesus and tell them that Jesus died for all. I may not be able to preach like Peter. I may not be able to pray like Paul. Just tell them the love of Jesus and say that Christ died for all. Here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm just asking you to share the story of God's glory. God never told us that it's you and I that wins them. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Someone say amen. I'm to be faithful in just telling the story, passing out a track, witnessing to my friends, putting, you know, not using Facebook as gripe book, right? Not using Facebook as complaint book. You know, the Bible says that you're going to be judged for every idle word. That includes your Facebook and social media. Wow, some of you just got really convicted right now. You're trying to delete your page, all right? Deleting the page is not going to work. We're going to stand before the Lord one day. And so use your Facebook to glorify God. Use your Facebook to brag on Jesus. Use your social media to tell the world, the watching world, that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. If you can't preach like Peter and you can't pray like Paul, just tell the love of Jesus. Tell them that Christ died for all. Being on mission with God. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you convict our hearts.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.